It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with host Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up, week of July the 7th. We're getting ready to talk all things Atlanta Braves. Welcome in my co-host, Joe Patrick. Joe, how you doing today?
Do we have to?
Yeah. I think we do.
It is our job, first of all.
It's one of those that honestly, like, if you are tuning in currently on our Facebook Live, kudos to you. yeah. Just for the fact of that you're still interested in this team.
Whoever is watching us right now had like a healthy breakfast, is like, yeah, very just has their life in order, and because anybody who's loves this team is it's a struggle right now. I don't even know what to say. Here's my thing, and I feel like we have said this so many times this season with it being a roller coaster and everything. But it's like, if we were to have done this podcast 3 or 4 days ago, I would be talking completely differently, because you would be coming off a series win against the Mets, a series win against the Marlins. You know, you beat Jacob deGrom to win that series against the Mets, and things were looking up. And then when you lose these two games like they have in these last two games against the Pirates, it kind of takes away all of that, because you're back to, again, we put in our show sheet, I was putting it together this morning. They're 4-4 over their last 8 games since we last recorded, which I feel like every single week they're like 3-3, 4, you know, however many days, like 500 or just under or over. This team just cannot get itself on a run, and it's incredibly frustrating. And not only were these games just against the Pirates, but just totally winnable games, pitching matchups that totally favored you, and you score one run in both of them. It's kind of pathetic.
Well, and I think here's the other thing, Joe, is that since we last talked, we were talking about, when we finished up last week, the idea that this was going to be two series against, you know, opponents in your division where you could really get some headway going.
Right.
And they actually went the Braves' way. And yet we sit here a week later, the Braves are worse off in their division after winning two series against their division. They've dropped in the standings, which is one of those, like, how is that even possible? The Braves found a way, though. And that's so specifically to go kind of not game by game, but to kind of give the idea. We left off last week after the first game against the Mets, or maybe that Mets series hasn't started yet. I couldn't remember yet. But dropped the first game to the Mets. Then, you know, the big 20-run performance, which I am now such a pessimist when it comes to big offensive games.
Yep.
I'm always the one being like, hey, save some of that for tomorrow kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And then they showed up the next day against the Mets, show up the next day and pull out a really tight one, a 1-0 win where Drew Smyly pitched and actually, you know, held it together.
Smyly's been good lately.
You drop one against the Mets in the middle and you're like, here we go again. You think you're about to drop another on July 4th. That impressive performance goes on with Max Fried being the hero. And then, yeah, these last two in Pittsburgh, where you're just like, I mean, really?
It's so like sapping of any positive emotion, which might sound pretty dark, but I mean, it is like, you could, because these are games you have to win. Like, in something we've been talking about these last couple weeks, where the Braves have been sputtering so long this season that we're at the point now where it's not good enough to go 500 like, you know, to just kind of continue to tread water. Like, you have to make up ground, and the Braves just aren't doing that. And this is the easy part of their schedule right now. You had 3 against the Marlins, you have 3 against the Pirates, and then you've got 3 more against the Marlins until things get quite difficult after the All-Star break in terms of just the quality of opponent that you're going to be playing. And they're not making up ground. You know, they're 3-3 so far in these games against the Marlins and Pirates. And like, I'm not full of optimism the way that the rest of these 4 games are going to go between these teams, because one, the offense is just really pathetic right now. Yeah, again, it's mentioned earlier, but one run these last couple games, All three of those games in the Marlins series that they won were by one run. And I think that included a 1-0 win, I think, in one of the games. I mean, you talk about saving the 20 runs from that Mets game. It is true. In the 8 games that have been played since we last did a show, they scored 20 runs in that one game, and they've scored 20 runs combined in the other 7 games. It's just insane.
Oh,
and I think it's a testament, actually, to the starting pitching of this team, the way it's rounded into form. You know, you mentioned Drew Smyly. He's been one of those guys who's helped. You know, this team is actually winning several 1-0 games, 2-1 games, you know, those kinds of games. But that's not a sustainable recipe for success. So you got to be kind of happy that some of that starting pitching has come around, but you're not getting the offense to match it. And there are specific players that are just totally underperforming and kind of playing themselves, honestly, off of this team.
Yeah, I think the highlight of the past week obviously has to be July 4th. I mean, that was a game that just felt like, and I remember, I think even, you know, Chip Carey said something on the broadcast about this idea that, like, this could be a turning point. And as much as I don't really buy into those sorts of things per se, it felt like, okay, here, you know, these are the types of games that the Braves, we've talked about all season, aren't winning that they had in the past. And it was like, okay, here we go. This is what they needed. They just needed a game like this to, you know, to steal a phrase from the Hawks playoff series. They just needed to believe. And once they believed, they pulled it off. Here we go. And then, no, we didn't, you know, we didn't continue that. And so I think that was just, I mean, frustrating is too simple of a word to put on it. But that's really where you go with it. When you talk about the offense not scoring, it's one of those things that I don't understand how your offense shows up against some of the top Mets pitchers like DeGrom, and you win those games. You win against some of the top Marlins pitching, and yet you get to Pittsburgh, and guys who have been consistently giving up runs, all of a sudden they're, you know, incredible aces. Like, it's like, is this team like playing down to its competition? I mean, it surely seems like it.
And watching these games, why am I watching these pitchers for the Pirates? And it's not like the stuff is overwhelming.
No.
It's like, you know, guys sitting in the low 90s fastball. You know, it's just like, it's normal. It's very league average, you know, or worse pitching. And you're not able to capitalize on it. Yeah, I mean, it's depressing how poorly this offense is performing right now. And, you know, like, again, I mentioned specific players. I would, you know, point out Dansby Swanson. He's a guy who's been a real catalyst for this team in the past. When this offense has been at its best, I think that's when, you know, Dansby Swanson has been at some of his hottest. And this year, he leads the team in strikeouts with 97. I'm not sure where that ranks among the league, but it's got to be up there. Only 24 walks for him so far this year, too, in 343 plate appearances. So a 287 on base percentage. Just, you know, he's playing himself into non-tender.
I was just about to ask you, can I ask you not anything too crazy, but is Dansby Swanson on this team opening day of 2022?
I still think that he will be, but I think it's going to definitely be a conversation. Like, I think it's going to be, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wasn't. It's going to depend on his arbitration number and a lot of that kind of granular stuff, but I do think that he also has built enough kind of goodwill within the organization over the years. You know, how far that carries you actually when it comes to a contract negotiation and, you know, looking at the numbers remains to be seen. But he has not helped his case, obviously, at all this year.
So my position with him is that you talked about the goodwill he has with this team. The goodwill he has with this team is the fact that he went to Marietta High School. And that he is he is a Georgia boy. He's been here. He you know, we get that idea of like represents the city kind of thing. Like, he is the guy that the Braves wanted, you know, they wanted the Ronald Acuna type thing out of Dansby Swanson. Like, they wanted face of the franchise out of Dansby Swanson. They didn't get it. And my issue is that if he didn't have that attachment to this city, there's no way he's coming back. And so then I step into the, hold on, are we worried about selling tickets?
Mm-hmm. And what are we doing here? What are our priorities?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Are we worried about, you know, fans' perspective and like, oh no, you know, like the average fan who's not really paying attention to the strikeouts, he's not paying attention to the production. Or are we worried about winning? And that's where it kind of tears me, because I understand from an organizational standpoint of, sure, you've got stars, sure, you've got Freddie Freeman, sure, you've got Ronald Acuna, sure, you've got Ozzie Albies, sure, you know, you've got guys who are really representing the team well and are going to the All-Star game, but then do they just kind of get sucked into the idea of like, well, it's just, it's, you know, it's so hard to replace that, you know, so hard to replace that hometown guy kind of niche that he fits.
Mm-hmm.
And that, are you really going to upgrade the production at that position consistently? Because, you know, we know Dansby's going to have his moments where he really shines. And he walks off a game for them and things like that. But is there somebody who can step into that role, albeit, you know, Orlando Arcia, who is, you know, is that a long-term, or is that a future takeover for that position? Is that something that you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Orlando Arcia is, it's interesting. I don't know if Orlando Arcia is definitely being looked at as like a quote-unquote like long-term replacement or potential shortstop for the Braves, but I do think that he's being integrated right now to get him in the lineup, to give him at bats, and just to see how he compares, at least at the plate. And I think that if he would provide, if his production turns out to be something that is, you know, better than what Dansby Swanson's been doing, then I could see this team moving on from Swanson, who I think only has 1 year left of team control. And using Orlando Arcia potentially next year as their shortstop. But I don't know if they would continue with Arcia long term, but I think that, you know, he's definitely being brought in as just a like a competition and try to be able to evaluate him against Dansby Swanson. I don't, Arcia has been brought up and he's been playing left field. I don't think that his position in the field right now is of concern. I think that they want to get him plate appearances to see what he can provide. And I think that this is an opportunity, you know, if the Braves season does kind of go fully tits up, for lack of a better word, you know, this is this, then you need to evaluate what you have on your roster. And that includes obviously a guy like Arcia, who has, you know, a lot of pedigree as a past high draft pick. So, you know, it's a tough situation with Dansby Swanson, though, because I know a lot of fans will roll their eyes at what I'm about to say, but I really do think that he is like one of the leaders in the clubhouse, just in terms of, you know, the way he can address media. Yeah, like he'll be one of those people who does step up and talk to media at times. Again, you know, and who, it's harder to tell exactly what the locker room dynamic is like this year, since we're, you know, reporters aren't allowed in there. But he has been a core stable piece of that clubhouse, and so I think that's another thing. And I think it kind of ties into all of that stuff that you were talking about earlier in terms of just like his value to the organization. That's not necessarily tied to his production, but I think the production is definitely kind of the main thing that the team is obviously going to look at when it comes to like what they decide with their future with him.
Yeah. So the, I guess in defense of keeping Dansby around is, I think this idea of, you know, don't for a second think that Arcia is some like young hotshot who's, you know, just finally working his way up to the majors. Like he's been in the majors before. He's if I remember right, Dansby's born in February and Arcia was born in August, so of the same year. So like they're the same age pretty much. And Arcia had his time with the Brewers. That was, you know, the trade that happened either right before the season or right into the season.
Early season.
I can't remember exactly, but yeah. So that's the thing is like, as far as, you know, I found it interesting, you know, to say you don't see Arcia as a long-term plan. Well, that's because, I mean, he's not 21, 22 years old. Like, he's been here before. I also wonder, I have to assume he was left off this team because they wanted him to get everyday reps, kind of, you know, that same idea we were hearing from other guys that They wanted to get him everyday at-bats in Gwinnett, which is why he wasn't on the bench with Atlanta. But now it's come to a point where it's necessary for Arcia to be a part of this team. And playing him out and him having the ability to go out into left field is a big deal. It's something that they definitely need, especially if they don't make a move this season. He's going to be needed out there. But I agree with you that, you know, long term doesn't seem like the guy, and let's maybe pump the brakes on. I like what I saw out of him this past weekend, but it's one of those, understand where he's at with Dansby, where it's like, don't think that's a necessarily an upgrade to Dansby. It's just right. Kind of a what are you getting right now sort of thing, which is just. Kind of adds to the strangeness of this weird season for the Braves, where this team is willing to do that, where they're just kind of like, yeah, I mean, why not, try him out, throw him out there, see what we get sort of thing. Because then you talk about missing pieces. Let's go on to Pablo Sandoval.
Oh boy, yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, that was not a scenario that I necessarily expected, although... When I sent you the news, just tell the people your immediate response of what was going through your head.
I thought, I was like, good Lord, are we the only team in baseball that has two players on the restricted list?
Yeah.
And we didn't know what it was for. Clearly, I mean, we later learned it was, just some personal matter that he needed to attend to, and no big deal essentially. But at first it's like, the restricted list, that's not the list you want to be on necessarily. But
that's the thing, is like, so if I understand the restricted list, it's just, it's separate from the injured list, where it's like, this guy is still gonna get paid, he's just not on the 40-man roster, so that whatever can be dealt with can be dealt with sort of thing. And that, see, the bad thing is, Joe, I wonder, in a different position for the Braves, do they even worry about putting him on the restricted list for whatever personal matter that they said was going to take 2 to 3 days for? Here's Caleb's assumption. I'm assuming there's a death in the family. Mm-hmm. This speaks to a death in the family, where you say, oh, he's going to take, a couple of days away from the team. It just seems like that sort of thing. But I just wonder about, in a season where the Braves aren't having the bench struggles that this team is having, and the, Marcell Ozuna situation and all these other things, if they even worry about moving him to the restricted list and this getting the initial attention that it got, because it also had me thinking of, would the Braves move Pablo Sandoval to the restricted list for a longer stretch of time, just so they could use him later if they needed to, but kind of keep him off the roster, because if we're honest, he hadn't been producing his pitch hitting roles as of late. And so, not that he was necessarily a liability, but it was just one of those, like, it's really not helping out the team. And so that was where initially I was going, but then to find out there was a family matter, it was like, okay, obviously not good for Pablo Sandoval individually, but it was like, okay, we're not dealing with some sort of scandal.
Right, exactly.
Again.
Yeah. And it was, to your point, it was kind of, it was a bit humorous to see, like, when Jacob Webb was recalled and the reaction to that. It's like when you talk, like, do we, like, really need to put him on the restricted list or whatever for a couple days, like, to get Jacob Webb up? Well, yeah,
Yeah.
Probably one of the last people that a lot of Braves fans want to see, but, it is. I understand, you want to get a bullpen arm up or whatever, so it is what it is. But thankfully, not a big deal. It was not a scandal, unlike other scandals that this team has had to deal with this year. So thankfully, that kind of came and went without much impact, I'll say, on this team.
Yeah. All right, Joe. So the Braves are 41-44, four games until the All-Star break, about less than a month until the trade deadline. You talked about where this Braves team needs to be the rest of the way to be in contention to win the division. Obviously, that's not continuing to be 500. Does Alex Anthopoulos make, like, does what happened over this last week make Alex Anthopoulos more willing or less willing to make a move at the trade deadline?
That's a good question, because you can look at, you can take it two ways. Is it like the pessimistic, you know, we're losing ground, it's not getting any easier for us to win this division, let's pack it in, sell off players, et cetera, et cetera? Or is it a sign of urgency that you need to get somebody in now if you want to turn this thing around? I don't know. I guess, all right, my boring answer is that they that they're still kind of waiting. They're still playing the waiting game, and so they haven't even made that decision yet. I would suspect that how I think this is going to play out is it's going to, I think it's going to make them less willing to go out and make a move. Okay. I think that and maybe that's my pessimistic reading of this.
No, that's fine.
I still think they're going to wait and kind of like assess things at the All-Star break. I think that that's kind of been the waypoint that this team has been waiting for, to just like see where they are at that point and figure it all out. But the way I see this thing going, in my opinion, you needed to win four of these six games against the Pirates and these last two series against the Pirates and Marlins. Technically, you could still do that. If you win the next four, you get into the All-Star break one game above 500. You probably would see yourself probably three or four games behind first place. But I don't see them doing that in these next four games. And it's kind of crazy how important these games are when it comes to all of this. Like, these big decisions, I think, are going to hinge on, you know, just a few games that will serve as an inflection point for this team that determines how good of a chance they have to win the division. So all this to say, I don't think I have little faith that this team is going to go out and make a big move, just based on everything we know about the way that this club has kind of assessed risk in the past. I just don't see it happening. I don't think that they consider themselves as having a great chance, because not only do you have to look at the Mets, who obviously everyone's chasing, but I mean, the team is now fourth in the division. It's still close, but you still have a lot of competition there. And so not only do you have to catch the Mets, but you'd have to be better than the Phillies and the Nats and, you know, these other teams who are also competing. So with all of that on top of everything that's gone wrong for you, you know, I mentioned it maybe last episode or a couple shows ago. You talk about, like, are you going to piss in the wind? Like, is it, I think that that's kind of what they're assessing as to what they want to do. Now, if I had my druthers, I would go out there and at least make one trade, which would be a big trade, to go out there and get a left fielder, because you know Marcell Ozuna is out of the picture for this team, definitely for this year and like 99% forever.
Yeah.
So you might as well go out and address that position right now. Like, I don't see what the real benefit is of like waiting till free agency to try to sign somebody, because I think if anything, the Braves have assets in terms of prospects that they can use to go out there and try to acquire somebody that they like. And, you know, they need to do that, because the timeline that this Braves team is on right now is to go out there and win a World Series in the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, like, relatively soon, like in the short to medium term. That's kind of like their window. The championship window is open now and it will last a certain amount of time. And so, does Drew Waters fit with that timeline? You know, do some of these prospects that we've heard about, you know, fit in that timeline? I still think that those prospects have value and they can use that, because the Braves are very, I'd be even more pessimistic that the Braves are going to go out there in free agency and like outbid everybody for some, you know, high price free agent. So I would like to see the team go out there and make a move for an outfielder. What are you thinking about it all?
Well, that's what, with the Braves playing at this like half good, half bad kind of scenario, I've started to, and I think you really opened the door to this thought process for me last week when you played the Charlie Morton sound of talking about, we got to turn this thing around, or, you know, some of these guys aren't going to be around here. I'm going to say, I think this team sells off some stuff to go get that outfielder that I think Charlie Morton is potentially in that mix. I wouldn't put Dansby Swanson out of that mix. Drew Waters is the more likely outfield prospect that's going to get traded, because I think Christian Pache has all but... he's all but messed up his chances to be the star outfield prospect that, you know, we've talked before.
You kind of he's blown his cover.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was about to say, like, you had, he was a mystery box at one point where it was like, if you wanted to trade him, oh, people are really interested in what they're seeing from him. And then you opened the box and you were like, oh, I don't really like what I see. And you tried to stuff him back and close the, you know, and close him up and put him down in Gwinnett. And he's looked better, much better in Gwinnett with his numbers Yeah, that he's playing right now. But it says something that you were like, yeah, Orlando Arcia, come on up. We'll have, I know you're really more of a shortstop. You're more of an infielder guy. We'll put you out in left because we need to look at you. I mean,
it's an admission, I think, from the Braves that they just made a mistake with Christian Pache this year and calling him up too early.
Well, and it's one of those, like, the defense is there. And I think, like many players, they were like, I mean, the offense, just it's going to catch up. It's got to catch up. And it didn't. Mm-hmm. It did. It
was actually deteriorating. It was getting worse as time went on. He was getting less confident, and it was just looking more desperate.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, we were getting younger version of Ender Inciarte, mm-hmm. where, you know, it happened faster. Ender Inciarte at least gave us a couple of seasons of really good defense and average offense before things started falling off for him offensively, and then the glove got to be, you know, iffy, hit or miss sort of thing. But, like, that happened in a much faster stretch with Christian Pache. So I don't think he's a trade option that teams are going to be like, ooh, we'll give up our star outfielder to get, you know, Pache as a prospect. I think they would do that with a guy like Drew Waters, but I think a deal like that now would have to be sweetened with someone like a Charlie Morton, or maybe you get off a little bit easier and you're able to give up a Drew Smyly since he's had such good performances recently. But I think it's going to, at this trade deadline, you're going to have to give up someone who is currently on this 40-man roster, like who is, you know, playing regularly, mm-hmm. Whether in the rotation or you know, playing on this team, in order to get that piece that you're looking at for the future. So it's kind of, it's a little bit of both. I think I had been so pessimistic in thinking that this team was going to start selling off stuff for the future. And maybe it's more true to how the Braves typically act, which is we're going to go a little in for this year and a little in for the future.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the one thing with Charlie Morton is that I feel like if you're trying to acquire, well, first of all, let me say this. I think the Braves, when you're looking at an outfielder that you would want to acquire, I think you would want to acquire somebody who would still have some team control left. Somebody like you're essentially wanting to go out there and get a piece that you think is going to be part of your team, obviously beyond this season, like, because, you know, you want to be him to be there for next season and potentially beyond. You're looking for more of a long-term piece along the lines of what Marcell Ozuna was. You know, they signed him to a four-year contract before the season. So with that in mind, I think it's going to be, I don't know if Charlie Morton is going to be a great fit in a trade, because what the player that you're trying to acquire, like, you would trade Charlie Morton to a team that is looking to make a deep run, right?
A team that's
doing that might not be as willing to trade away an outfielder of the quality that the Braves are looking for. I totally agree with you that I think Charlie Morton would be a guy that they definitely would try to trade for pieces if they know they're going to be out of it and they are trying to kind of sell for parts to an extent. But I'm trying to think. Oh, sorry, go ahead and then I'll finish.
Oh no. It was also I think, like, that level of deal takes a three-team trade.
Oh yeah, sure. Yep.
Where you're, because, I mean, I don't know that, and this is, we're talking about the Braves getting a, like, above average to, you know, really great level outfielder. In order to get this deal done, I don't think it's a one-for-one, a Braves trading with one team sort of deal, because I don't think each side is going to have enough pieces. I just think throughout the trade deadline, like, before we get to the trade deadline, that the Braves, you know, aren't going all in on this season and aren't going all in on the future. I think they'll try to do the half thing, and it just seems like that's the type of piece, because I completely agree. if you're trading for the future, you're not also trading for the now, unless you end up trading with someone who thinks like Alex Anthopoulos and is trying to do a little of like, see, you know, see my fan base, you know.
We're trying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, while you were talking in your the first bit about, you know, having to trade away a guy who's on the 40-man roster or a guy even that is, you know, contributing regularly to this team in the lineup every day, I'm thinking of, like, what players that would be. And, you know, we've talked about Dansby Swanson here. I'm not sure how much trade value Dansby Swanson has at this point. No. But I was thinking of other players, and I'm just going to throw this out to you. William Contreras is a player who has obviously shown flashes and a lot of potential, especially with his bat. But I think that also he's clearly frustrated Brian Snicker with, you know, and fans, I think everybody who's watched, you know, the defensive side of it. I wonder, he's a guy who would have value, you know, you have to kind of make peace with the fact that if you want to acquire a player that is good, you have to trade away pieces that are, you know, that are appetizing for other teams. And so, to me, he's a guy potentially that you could see because the Braves have a lot of depth in that catching position down.
I was just about to
down
say,
the minors. You know, you've got Shea Langeliers who's tearing it up in Double A. You know, they're a little distance away, but you have players there. You know, Alex Jackson still is in this organization. He's just been hurt. He's been on the injured list. So, You know, there's a name to keep in mind. And one other thing I wanted to say about in this conversation is I'm still long on Christian Pache. I still have high hopes and expectations for him as a player with this organization. I'm not taking a ton out of his struggles this season, other than the fact that I think it was clearly too early for him to come up. And I will put my hands up and say I thought he would be a positive addition to this team, and I was openly advocating for him to be on the roster on opening day, and I was wrong too. So, you know, I'm not going to like fault Alex Anthopoulos for it that much. And I think it's actually a credit, you know, you have to give the Braves credit for doing exactly what you were pointing out earlier, which is like not rushing him back up because you need bodies in the outfield and it'll just like let him have a season in AAA or, you know, however long it takes for him to get comfortable once again. But I still have hopes for him. And I think that if, you know, his performance at the major leagues earlier this season did diminish his trade value, then I'm totally fine with, you know, keeping him and kind of planning on him being a long-term piece of this outfield. Okay, and I agree that Drew Waters would be the guy who's definitely the most likely to go. I mean, Drew Waters is still pretty raw in terms of, like, what he would be, and I think that it would be 2 years at least before we would see him being, like, a productive player at the major leagues.
Okay, wow. 2 years. Huh.
When you look at his strikeout numbers and just, like, his batted ball profile, there's, like, a lot that you really need to see that corrected. Maybe it happens faster, but this is his first year in AAA. It's so hard for me to understand where a lot of these minor league players are. I know, like, we have a minor league season this year, so it's a little easier, but just with that, with having 1 year completely cut out of the picture, you know, where we normally track these guys' trajectories, it's harder to understand kind of where they are in their development process. Now I want to bring up a few names that I've kind of been looking at for players, that the Braves could acquire for this outfield. A couple Martes, Ketel Marte and Starling Marte. Ketel is obviously in, Arizona. Starling, we saw him, on Sunday against the Braves. He handed the game ball to Max Fried as the team was mobbing, Ronald Acuna joined the Congo line and started dancing with him as he was trying to walk off the field.
I was about to say, so it was one of those where when I saw the video, I was thinking, Ronnie, don't do that to him. Like, he was trying to be classy, which, like, honestly, golf clap to Starling Marte for...
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's a grown man move there to get beat and realize for the other team how big of a moment that was for them, and to be like, I want to make sure he, like, and so it's one of those, when I saw his name that you put on the list of you know, options that the Braves should be looking at, I was like, immediately, yes, like
yeah.
Do it today, honestly, because that maturity, I feel like, rubs off, you know, and is it's one of those, like, And I want to be very careful in how I say this, that this Braves team is so much fun to watch, and they do some incredible things. But this Braves team also needs some maturity in the clubhouse to just calm it down a little bit in certain times. I'm not saying that, you know, that there's no celebrations and that the Braves have to be very serious and you know, that the Braves have to be police officers of the game. I don't mean that in any way. I just love the just honestly the maturity that you see out of Starling Marte. Also, you know, knowing his backstory with his wife's situation, like this guy's been through a lot and handled adversity really well. And so you throw that on top of the production that he puts out on the field. And I'm honestly like just like absolutely, you know, bring him to Atlanta. I think that would be pretty unlikely because they're a division opponent who, even though they're really out of it, they're never going to say that they're really out of it sort of thing. So, that's a hard move to make. But like him being number one on this list that you put, you know, the Starling Marte and Ketel Marte. Ketel, I feel like, if I'm completely honest, I have not kept up with, you know, his production, what he's done this season. Just knowing his past, though, I mean, he's been a consistent outfielder, a dependable option sort of thing. And that's something that, you know, the Braves need.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I like about all three of these guys that I brought up, I mean, it's the reason that I like them, is that, you know, they all get on base a lot. Starling Marte has a 402 on base percentage. Ketel Marte has a 419 on base percentage, and Joey Gallo's at 391. So even though Joey Gallo is like a strikeout machine, he struck out more than Dansby Swanson this year. He also walks a ton. He gets on base.
I was about to say he'd fit in just fine.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. And he hits for power too, which is always a plus. He's got 21 homers this year. But no, like I think with Starling, I think that like he profiles perfectly for this team. Like I think you would add him in a heartbeat based on what he gives you on the field. For me, the problem, the stumbling block with trading for him is the fact that this is the last year of his contract. So he is a guy who will be up for free agency. Maybe the Braves could be having conversations with him or lining up to try to get him in free agency potentially. You never know, but I think that, you know, he's a guy, maybe that would be one reason the Marlins would be, you know, willing to part with him, because you might as well, you know, again, kind of like a Charlie Morton situation, you flip him for whatever you can get to help build your organization for the long term. So, he's an option. Ketel Marte has missed a bunch of time this year, but, you know, his numbers are phenomenal. Again, 419 on base percentage. He's hitting 370 right now, only in 148 plate appearances, so... you know, who knows, small sample size and everything, but I mean, clearly has shown that he's one of the star players in this league when he's healthy and everything's going well for him. So he has a year of team control, as does Joey Gallo. So both of those two players, both Ketel and Joey Gallo, would both have one year of team control, which I think is a, you know, hugely important for a team that's looking to trade, like a Braves team especially, that where you're looking at trying to strengthen for next year, knowing that the season might be you know, your odds of success making the playoffs are less likely. So those are the three names I just wanted to throw out there.
Yeah, I think here's the thing, Joe, that's difficult with the list that, you know, you put out, is this is a difficult list to convince a fan base to give up a prospect that could give you, you know, a much longer time in the majors. Like this is not
sexy to trade Drew Waters for Joey Gallo.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those, and let's be honest, you know, and potentially a year and a half of Joey Gallo or, you know, Ketel Marte, or half a year of Starling Marte with the potential that he re-signs. But there, I think of the list of names, you know, the list of teams who are going to be lining up, you know, licking their chops to go after Marte is going to be quite lengthy. That it seems like he probably gets moved to a team who's going to win a World Series this year, or who is there going to win a World Series this year. And as much as, you know, Braves fans, you might be out there thinking, well, you know, we're right up there too. No, this team is not. I'm not saying that they can't have a miraculous, incredible turnaround and have the finish of the ages and just go on the most incredible run. Look, I mean, it's one of those, we just had a team in this city do the exact same thing at the halfway point or near the halfway point. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, a lot of Braves fans are wanting some drastic moves because they see the success of what the Hawks, of what happened with the Hawks. And it's like, I mean, that's not guaranteed, but it is also possible. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those, like, you never want to completely give up hope, but I'm also a realist, and like, I know what's going on. So it's a lot of tough decisions, a lot of decisions that I'm thankful I don't have to make.
Yeah. And one more thing to throw out there. I know you got to get out of here. One more thing to throw out there is, you know, the DH is likely coming back into baseball next year for this Braves team. So that's another thing to kind of take into account. Maybe you go out there and get a bat that's not even necessarily an outfielder, but you know could contribute in a DH role or something like that, when you'd be able to bring up a Christian Pache who would be playing in the outfield or something next year. So there are different permutations of trades, but I think it's just like clear that this team needs an impact bat involved somehow.
Are you telling me that Max Fried is not the designated hitter of the future for this Atlanta Braves team?
Right, exactly.
What?
Well, you know, it's just I was like just looking at the standings. I'm like looking at the wild cards, and like there aren't even that many teams that are like out of it that are like clearly sellers right now.
It's just like last year,
exactly. Yeah, because there's this expanded playoffs, you know. So it's or you at least have two wild cards now. You know, it's not and you have so many divisions that are so close and bunched up. So it's going to be an interesting time. Again, this is a huge inflection point in the season for the Braves right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. So just to let people know, before we hit the All-Star break next week, the Braves will finish out against Pittsburgh tonight, then go on for, they'll get a day off on Thursday, play three-game stand in Miami before heading to the All-Star game, where Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, and Ozzy Albies, wow, had a brain fart there. We'll all go and, you know, get to represent Atlanta and Colorado for the All-Star game and you know, hopefully represent this team very well. Joe, is there anything you want to add before we get out?
No, I hope that Ronald Acuna plays hits in the home run derby.
Yeah, that would be fun, although I just wonder how much last year, you know, I don't know, people getting to him and telling him, oh, you don't want to do that. It'll mess up your swing. It'll blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I would hope he goes out there, especially with the fact that, you know, Pete Alonso is going back out there.
Mess up your swing. I don't care. It's not like there's anything to play. No,
right? Honestly, though, I mean, and it's one of those, like, I don't buy into it messing up a swing anyway. So I want to see him out there. Yeah. It's a good, you know, representation of the city.
He's just so fun, you know.
Like, yeah, that's it too.
I loved it last year when he was in. He's hitting opposite field homers in the home run derby. Never seen that before.
It's just like, you know, I mean, I think of the NBA All-Star game where like all of the individual competitions, less and less stars are competing in because they're all worried about, you know, whatever's going to happen or what. Mm. No, like I want, like in Major League Baseball especially, put your stars in these, you know, in the home run derby and these small events that, you know, make your sport shine. That's the fun part, the offensive part, the hitting it to the upper deck sort of stuff that that fans want to see. And yeah, I'm with you, Joe, that I hope we see Ronald Acuna out there next week. Thanks everybody for watching on Facebook Live, and for all of those who are going to go download the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. You've been listening to Batter Up. For my partner Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a great week.
Yeah, and one more thing to throw out there. I know you got to get out of here. One more thing to throw out there is, you know, the DH is likely coming back into baseball next year for this Braves team. So that's another thing to kind of take into account. Maybe you go out there and get a bat that's not even necessarily an outfielder, but you know could contribute in a DH role or something like that, when you'd be able to bring up a Christian Pache who would be playing in the outfield or something next year. So there are different permutations of trades, but I think it's just like clear that this team needs an impact bat involved somehow.
Are you telling me that Max Fried is not the designated hitter of the future for this Atlanta Braves team?
Right, exactly.
What?
Well, you know, it's just I was like just looking at the standings. I'm like looking at the wild cards, and like there aren't even that many teams that are like out of it that are like clearly sellers right now.
It's just like last year,
exactly. Yeah, because there's this expanded playoffs, you know. So it's or you at least have two wild cards now. You know, it's just it's not, and you have so many divisions that are so close and bunched up. So it's going to be an interesting time. Again, it's a huge inflection point in the season for the Braves right now.
Yeah, that's for sure. So just to let people know, before we hit the All-Star break next week, the Braves will finish out against Pittsburgh tonight, then go on for, they'll get a day off on Thursday, play three-game stand in Miami before heading to the All-Star game, where Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman, and Ozzie Albies, wow, had a brain fart there, we'll all go and, you know, get to represent Atlanta and Colorado for the All-Star game and you know, hopefully represent this team very well. Joe, is there anything you want to add before we get out?
No, I hope that Ronald Acuna plays hits in the home run derby.
Yeah, that would be fun. Although I just wonder how much last year, you know, I don't know, people getting to him and telling him, oh, you don't want to do that. It'll mess up your swing. It'll mess up your swing. It'll blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I would hope he goes out there, especially with the fact that, you know, Pete Alonso is going back out there.
Mess up your swing. I don't care. It's not like there's anything to play. No,
right. Honestly, though, I mean, and it's one of those, like, I don't buy into it messing up a swing anyway. So I want to see him out there. Yeah. It's a good, you know, representation of the city.
He's just so fun, you know? Like,
yeah, that's it, too.
I loved it last year when he was in. He's hitting opposite field homers in the home run derby. Never seen that before.
It's just like, you know, I mean, I think of the NBA All-Star game where, like, all of the individual competitions, less and less stars are competing in because they're all worried about, you know, whatever's going to happen or whatever. Mm. No, like, I want, like, in Major League Baseball especially, put your stars in these, you know, in the home run derby and these small events that, you know, make your sport shine. That's the fun part, the offensive part, the hitting it to the upper deck sort of stuff that fans want to see. And yeah, I'm with you, Joe, that I hope we see Ronald Acuna out there next week. Thanks, everybody, for watching on Facebook Live. And for all of those who are going to go download the podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts, you've been listening to Batter Up. For my partner, Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a great week.